Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. To ask Hank your question, call in now, 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information or to order resources, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The board already completely full, people calling in from all around the world. We will get to your questions later on in the broadcast. My apologies for making you hang on to your telephone. Hopefully you can put it on hands-free. I want to talk to a very important person to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, someone who is dealing with cultural issues in a cutting-edge fashion. His name is Joe Dallas. He wrote a very important article for the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. The article is titled, "Hath God Said? Assessing the Church's Change of Heart About Homosexuality." Joe Dallas is the program director of Genesis Biblical Solutions in Tustin, California. It's a Christian biblical counseling service to men dealing with sexual addiction, with homosexuality, and with other sexual relational problems. He's the author of 7 books on human sexuality, including a book titled The Gay Gospel, How Pro-Gay Advocates Misread the Bible, and another book that I think is very, very important, When Homosexuality Hits Home. Can you think about a book more relevant than that? Joe's other books you can find on the web at equip.org, and as always, we are just delighted to welcome him back to the broadcast. Hi, Joe.
How you doing, Hank?
I'm doing good, and I love your article. You talk about the church's change of heart regarding homosexuality. You say it's striking. You give examples like Seattle's Eastlake megachurch pastored by Ryan Meeks, New Heart Community Church in La Mirada, California, Danny Cortez, Grace Point Church of Franklin, Tennessee, Stan Mitchell, Vineyard Christian Fellowship, Ken Wilson, who, by the way, credits a nudge from Jesus for his change of heart and endorsement and performance of same-sex weddings in his Ann Arbor, Michigan church. So the question, given all of that, for you, Joe, is modern evangelicalism on the cusp of embracing a God-ordained civil rights movement, a new reformation, if you will?
Well, I think that many people who promote this trend would hail it as exactly that. In fact, one of today's leading proponents of a pro-gay interpretation of the Bible, Matthew Vines, does describe this, in fact, as a new reformation. But in many ways, I find it to be a very old deception, an attempt to reframe what God has plainly said by first questioning it and then trying to reason your way out of it. So, in fact, I think that modern evangelicalism is on the cusp of embracing an enormous deception. And, Hank, I don't think we can overestimate the ramifications this will have for the life of the church.
I want to talk about that some more, but to your point, the Bible seems to be on trial.
It is. Certainly, our understanding traditionally of Scripture for the past several hundred years is on trial. But here's what's insidious about this, Hank. This movement claims to respect biblical authority. Now, if a movement presented itself to the modern church saying, hey, we reject the Bible, we don't believe it's God-inspired, I don't think that movement would get much of an audience from the church. But this movement, in fact, says, oh, yes, we believe the Bible is the Word of God, we believe it is authoritative, but we have mistranslated or misinterpreted or misunderstood what the Bible really says about homosexuality, much as racists in earlier times misinterpreted the scriptures to legitimize discrimination against other races. So these new reformers say we are currently misinterpreting the scripture, and now many people are seeing the scripture in a new light and realizing that God never disapproved of homosexuality, and the church then needs to revise its position.
You know, the insidious thing I would say about all of this is that if you do not embrace the change of heart of pastors like Ryan Meeks, then he will very, very clearly point you out as a hater.
This is part of the power of the movement, Hank. It appeals to emotion and to human affection, because you're quite right. This is not just being seen as a doctrinal disagreement. This is being seen as a choice between loving people or hating them. If you embrace the traditional viewpoint of human sexuality, you are accused of hating people. And basically, the way the issue is framed is, if you do not approve of homosexuality, then you cannot truly love the homosexual person, which puts a lot of people in a bind.
You write that a church which tells an adherent that their transgression is merely an inborn preference can hardly be called salt and light. My question, Joe, is, are pastors like Ryan Meeks in effect neutering the Great Commission?
Very much so. You cannot preach the gospel, you cannot fulfill the Great Commission, if you cannot talk honestly and openly about the S word, sin. If we take sin out of the equation, there is no need for a Savior. Now, when we are revising what God has plainly called a sin and stating now that it is something legitimate, we have thereby reduced the individual's capacity to recognize his need or her need for salvation. So for that reason alone, I do not believe we can effectively fulfill the Great Commission if we are calling the light darkness or the darkness light.
You wrote a book titled When Homosexuality Hits Home. You've written articles in that same vein for the Christian Research Journal. And in that light, I want to ask you a question about the human element. Ryan Meeks says that his change of heart respecting homosexuality came about as a result of the human element, a staff member admitting that she was dating another woman, and all of that changed his mind. The human element seems to be a powerful force in changing the perspective of megachurch pastors.
Yeah, well, the human element is a bit of an emotional tidal wave, isn't it, Hank? When we come to love someone, when we come to feel deep affection for them, we want to believe the best about them. I get that. My gosh, I don't like to believe that someone I care about is wrong. And when someone is wrong and they also happen to have a wonderful personality, be very likable, and in many ways very respectable, it makes it that much harder for me to maintain a clear position. I happen to think this probably played into a bit of what Adam and Eve went through when Adam, in essence, went along. I think that human affection, that is, our tendency to compromise when we make relationships, played into God's prohibitions to the Israelites when he said, when you get into Canaan, do not make peace with the Canaanites. Do not establish friendships with them or neighborly postures towards them, because you will become like them. Now, this is not to say I think we should be unaffectionate towards non-believers. Of course not, and certainly not towards homosexual people. Hank, as you know, I've been very critical over these past few decades of the way many Christians have spoken so contemptuously about homosexual people. But by the same token, the fact that we feel affection for a person does not, should not compel us to revise biblical positions with that person. I think we have a problem handling tension. because there is tension when I care about someone who is wrong, because I worry about them. I'm concerned, and thereby I'm tempted to either try to kill my affection towards them, which would make it easier, or try to revise the truth, which would make it easier. But to be Christ-like, we have to live with the tension of loving people while plainly telling them when they are wrong that they are wrong.
Talking to Joe Dallas, he's Program Director of Genesis Biblical Solutions, Tustin, California. He's a contributor to the Christian Research Journal, and his article appears in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. It's titled, Hath God Said? Assessing the Church's Change of Heart About Homosexuality. If you have not as yet subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, you can do so in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. You write, Joe, that any movement that sanctions what is specifically forbidden in Scripture is inherently deceptive. Elaborate on that.
Yes, this movement, in essence, seeks to encourage people to make peace with a sin. And when you encourage people to make peace with sin, you cannot be giving them the full counsel of God. You cannot make true disciples of them. I have mentioned before on your shows, Hank, I myself once tried to convince myself that homosexuality and Christianity were compatible. And I wanted at that time nothing more than for someone to come alongside me and reassure me that indeed I was right, that God approved of this behavior. But that did not make me a true follower of Jesus Christ. It made me, in essence, someone who was enjoying the luxury of doing what he wanted to do and baptizing it in Christian lingo. And that's not the stuff a true disciple is made of.
In the journal article, you provide solutions that are in desperate need of implementation. Can you elaborate on that for us? Give us kind of a sense of not only cursing the darkness, but building a lighthouse.
Yes, the three E's that I feel we need to implement or we need to strengthen: expository teaching, explicit instruction, encouraging ministry. Expository teaching. Hank, one of the best buffers, as you know, against false doctrine is a solid foundation in sound doctrine. We need more verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter teaching coming from our pulpits, because when we equip people with a working understanding of the Bible, then we have equipped them with a general overview of truth, which will enable them to be immune to the many aberrant teachings that are going around, which, frankly, a healthy body would be immune to. Explicit instruction, meaning we do have to talk a little more frankly about sex from a biblical perspective. Of course, we don't need to be graphic. We don't need to be inappropriate. But I think we need to be as explicit as the Scripture itself is, because we must stop presuming that the people who come to our churches know and are submitted to the Judeo-Christian sexual ethic. Many people, even church-going believers, are not aware of prohibitions against fornication and different forms of sexual sin. So we need to be clearer in our churches about how God expects the believer to steward her body or his body. And finally, encouraging ministry. There is no reason, Hank, why we cannot have in our churches more discipleship-oriented, supportive ministries for people who are wrestling with different types of sexual temptations and sexual struggles. We have such ministries for people who wrestle with chemical dependency, with different emotional problems. There's no reason we can't make it more a normative part of church life for people to be able to find in the local congregation a group where they can go and say, I want to live a life submitted to godly standards, but I have developed patterns of sexual behavior that take me outside God's will. Please help me. Give me the tools and the instruction and the support to live my life as God intended me to. Those three E's, I believe, we have got to either implement or strengthen in our local churches.
And Joe is the author of seven books on human sexuality. I've mentioned the titles of just a couple, The Gay Gospel, as well as When Homosexuality Hits Home. You can find his books on the web at equip.org. If you have never read a Joe Dallas book, you want to do it. He is a clear thinker, a very good writer. You can, again, read his books by finding them on the web at equip.org. Joe, as always, great to talk to you. Thanks for your contributions.
Thanks for having me, Hank. Take good care.
Joe Dallas, again, he is the program director of Genesis Biblical Solutions in Tustin, California. He's a contributor to the Christian Research Journal, a feature article in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, Hath God Said? Assessing the Church's Change of Heart About Homosexuality. Again, subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. You'll get articles like this. You can do so in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org. Right after the break, we'll go directly to your calls right here on the Bible Instrument broadcast. Stay tuned for that.
Recently, Time magazine accurately noted a number of prominent evangelical churches and leaders who have reversed their positions on homosexuality. Time concluded that change is coming to one of the last redoubts of opposition to gay marriage in America. Is modern evangelicalism on the cusp of embracing a God-ordained civil rights movement or a grotesque error masquerading as reformation? Hath God Said? Assessing the Church's Change of Heart About Homosexuality by Joe Dallas in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go online at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank will be back right after this. We live in an age of increasingly militant secularism and scientism, an age in which science, reinforced by its stunning successes and unprecedented benefits in our quality of life, is increasingly the arbiter of what constitutes truth. But the question is, do the facts of science really suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, the latest film by Illustra Media, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm and shows how it's a realm where biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Recently, Time magazine noted a number of prominent evangelical churches and leaders who have reversed their positions on homosexuality. Time concluded that, quote, change is coming to one of the last redoubts of opposition to gay marriage in America, end quote. Is modern evangelicalism on the cusp of embracing a God-ordained civil rights movement or a grotesque error masquerading as reformation? Other topics include putting race in biblical perspective, two views on human origins, how Christianity led to the rise of modern science, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Multitudes of Christian brothers and sisters in the Global South urgently need basic materials to ground their faith. That's why CRI has embarked on a 10-year strategy called Going Global. This initiative will provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish, two of the world's largest mega languages. Since prayer is the fuel of global missions, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God in Christ is doing in countries throughout the world to help direct our prayers for the global church. Hank Hanegraaff and CRI will be using this vital resource to pray strategically for our Going Global initiative. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. or visit equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's flagship publication designed to equip you in doctrine, defense, and discernment. When you subscribe to the journal, you'll receive a magazine that's not only scholarly in its substance, but beautiful in its presentation, easily accessible and relevant, with stunning graphics and rich content written by respected theologians and communicators. The Christian Research Journal is a must-have resource that no Christian home should be without. Start your subscription today. Call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Now, back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Let's go right to our phone callers. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. First up, June. She's listening in Atlanta, Georgia, Sirius XM 131. Hi, June.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, too. Hey, I have a question about the Red Christian, Red Letter Christians. And I just wanted to know, does this keep with the essentials of the Christian doctrine?
Well, Tony Campolo, who is co-author of that book, does not hold to the Bible as being the infallible repository of redemptive revelation in general, because he takes his own politically correct views and imposes them on Scripture, including calling for the full acceptance of Christian gay couples into the church. In other words, a validation of their practice. The fact that same-sex marriage violates natural law, the universal morally binding law accessible to all people at all times through conscience and reason, doesn't seem to have a whole lot of weight with him. Obviously, marriage has an objective and immutable nature embedded in it. It is unique, it's permanent, it's comprehensive in terms of the union of one man, one woman, the natural end of which is the bearing and rearing of children. And the reality is all the sociological metrics point to the benefit for children of gender-differentiated parenting. But Tony Campolo doesn't care about that. What he cares about is being politically correct, despite what it does to the most vulnerable among us. So I don't recommend his books. I don't recommend his reason, sometimes ramblings, as in that book, and certainly not a Christian leader that should be adhered to or followed. Instead, we should apply discernment skills to his rambling reason.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You got it. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Jim. He's listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, KQCV. Hi, Jim.
Hi. First of all, I just want to thank you for your program. It's a really big help. I have a question, actually, as I had it originally. It's very long because I build up to it, but I'll shorten it as much as I can. And that is, what is it about the nature of the transformation to our eternal bodies at the resurrection, or the events leading up to that resurrection, or the nature of the new creation that we're in, that eliminates the possibility of man's falling into sin as he did before?
Wow, beautifully worded question. Jim, and the way I'd respond to that first is to simply say that we can be absolutely certain that we will not sin in heaven, because that is what the Scriptures teach us. And that's important, and I think something that we should not take lightly. Secondly, I'd say that while in the present we are being bombarded by the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil, in paradise restored, the problem of sin and Satan is forever resolved. So we're not going to be tempted. Rather, we're going to have requisite knowledge of the one who saved us by his grace. So you can imagine your love for Jesus Christ now. Now imagine it in a circumstance where there's no temptation from the world, the flesh, and the devil, and you are actually communing with the crystal Christ, the paragon of virtue, the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, the one who knit you together in your mother's womb. And then I think a third point should be added, and that is in heaven we're going to be actualized in righteousness, free to be what God made us to be. In other words, the image and likeness of God in humanity, saved humanity, will be fully restored. And when it is fully restored, we're not going to be robbed of freedom. This is the quintessence of freedom. We freely give up the freedom to sin in exchange for freedom from sin. So we can be absolutely certain that sin will be no more. In fact, the Bible very explicitly says, nothing impure will enter the New Jerusalem, nor will anyone who is impure enter the New Jerusalem. It will be free from the stain of sin.
Okay, well, that basically answers my question. First of all, I start at the same point that you mentioned. I start with the assumption that, yes, there will be no sin because the Bible tells us so. And I just wondered how that could come about. And so boiling it down to the essential, or to the least amount that would cover it, would you say that the real reason that we will not sin anymore is the absence of Satan?
And the world and the flesh, and also the fact that the Imago Dei is restored, and we are in the presence of the one who saved us by his grace. By the way, Jim, written about this in my book, Afterlife, what you need to know about heaven, the hereafter, and near-death experiences. You can find that book in bookstores everywhere or on the web at equip.org. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Troy. He's listening in Prescott, Arizona. Hi, Troy.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, earlier you implied that it wasn't the job of a Christian to be aware of Christ's second coming in terms of time frames. And I was wondering, why would Christ have chastised the Pharisees and the Sadducees for not recognizing the signs of the times when he stood in front of them and he said, you all can recognize the weather in the morning and whether it's going to rain or not, but you can't recognize that I'm the Messiah, but you can't recognize the signs of the times. And there's the other scripture that says we should have our sandals and our clothes next to our bed prepared and ready so that we're not caught unaware. And I believe it was referring to Christ's second coming. And
well, no, it's not referring to Christ's second coming at all, and that is certainly what skeptics and infidels have said, like Albert Schweitzer and Bart Ehrman, people who say that Jesus Christ is a false apocalyptic prophet. Quite obviously, in context, Jesus is talking about his coming in judgment, but that judgment being a judgment on Jerusalem and the temple. The context very, very clear. So those who call him a false apocalyptic prophet and use that as the pretext are simply misguided. But as far as the passage that you're talking about, Matthew chapter 16, you're very right to say the Pharisees and the Sadducees were coming to Jesus and testing him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. So how does he respond? It's not just with the words that you quoted. Now, those words come in a context. He says, when evening comes, you say, it's going to be a fair day out because the sky is red. And in the morning, today it's going to be stormy because the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. And what are the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, says Jesus, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. What is the sign of the time? It is Jesus Christ has appeared. He's going to resurrect from the dead. He's doing miracles in their midst, and yet they are denying that he is the only one who can walk through the doorway of Old Testament prophets, prophecy. So they're denying Messiah in their midst when it's very clear that Messiah has landed. and has inaugurated the kingdom. But they don't want the kingdom because they want their own thing going on. They want to make their own living and their own pomp and ceremony because of their position and their pride. And so they're denying Messiah in their midst. And Messiah is very, very clear. Remember the words. They apply to your question. Jesus says, a wicked, an adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. So Jesus, again, is castigating those who ought to know full well that Messiah is in their midst, and it's going to be amplified by his resurrection. This has nothing whatsoever to do with reading tea leaves or Shemitah propaganda in the present.
Well, what about the scripture that refers to us having our sandals next to our bed?
That is the first scripture that I dealt with. The context is very, very clear. Jesus is leaving the temple. He's walking away. He's basically pronounced Ichabod on the temple because the temple is a type, and he fulfills that type as the substance. So as he's walking away, the disciples call his attention to its buildings, and then Jesus says, do you see all these things? I tell you the truth, not one stone here is going to be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. And then, of course, he's got the disciples' attention. They're thinking, wow, this is the center of our sociological and spiritual identity. You're saying it's going to be removed? You're saying Jerusalem, the temple, are going to be destroyed? Now they want to know. And they ask him privately on the Mount of Olives, when's this going to happen? When is the temple going to be destroyed? What is going to be the sign of your coming in judgment on the temple? What is going to be the sign of the end of the age of sacrifice? They're asking essentially the same question in a number of different ways, and Jesus tells them. He gives them all kinds of warnings about what is going to happen. And he uses the language of the Old Testament prophets that had to do with destruction of nations and cities. And he applies that language so clearly that no one who has ever read the Old Testament could mistake his meaning. And then he says it's all going to happen within a generation. So again, he's very, very clear that he's not talking about the 21st century. He's talking about what will happen when the temple and Jerusalem are destroyed. And that's why I pointed out to you earlier on that the skeptics and infidels, like Bart Ehrman, who is very proud that the evangelical students that come to his classroom, by and large, in his hyperbole, almost 100% of them leave the faith. He's very proud of that. Because he misreads this text, either purposely or because he's benighted, but he misreads this text to try to demonstrate that Jesus Christ is a false apocalyptic prophet. And again, as I've said, if he had a clue with respect to reading literature in general and the art and science of biblical interpretation in particular, he would not do what he is doing, at least in good conscience. So this is not subject to what the skeptics and infidels have done with it. This is very clear, and certainly Christians who have read their Bible know this and know that this has nothing to do with the 21st century. It's by implication, of course, if Jesus Christ was right about his coming in judgment on Jerusalem, he's right about his coming a second time, or as Hebrews puts it, his second appearing. So it does look forward to an ultimate day when Jesus Christ will return. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions.
Over the past year, American news has been dominated by one story after another of a black man being fatally injured in a confrontation with police. Allegations of racism have followed each case, accompanied by discussions, debates, demonstrations, and disturbances with an intensity unseen since the 1960s. What kind of healing can Christian faith bring to this national divide?
Putting Race in Biblical Perspective by Jamar Tisby in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back in a moment. Did you know less than 1% of the leaders of house churches in China have any seminary training? And only 2% would even qualify for seminary given education levels and income. To help remedy this situation, CRI has set in motion a 10-year Going Global initiative to provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish. Your prayers and support are vital to fulfilling CRI's Going Global initiative. Toward that end, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God is doing throughout the world and will help direct our prayers for the global church. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thanks for your gift in support of CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Over the past year, American news has been dominated by one story after another of a black man being fatally injured in a confrontation with police. Allegations of racism have followed each case, accompanied by discussions, debates, demonstrations, and disturbances with an intensity unseen since the 1960s. What kind of healing can Christian faith bring to this national divide? Other topics include assessing the church's change of heart about homosexuality. Is it immoral to believe in God? Two views on human origins, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. A dolphin's biosonar permits it to distinguish the difference between a golf ball and a ping pong ball based solely on its density. In fact, dolphins can see inside things. What's more, a dolphin can detect a BB at the bottom of a swimming pool blindfolded. To think a dolphin's echolocation system simply arose from purposeless processes rooted in blind chance is nothing short of preposterous. Learn more about how the biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design in Living Waters, the latest film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Although neither ancient Greek pagans nor medieval Christians intended to produce objective studies of nature, the metaphysical assumptions of Christianity, unlike those of the Greeks, turned out to be extremely conducive to uncovering true knowledge about nature. It was therefore Christians who unknowingly laid the foundations for modern science. How Christianity Led to the Rise of Modern Science by James Hannon in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. Here again is the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a quick note that I'm going to stay in the studio today for an extra hour once we go off the air, continue taking your calls. I'm not going to be able to get everybody calling in right now in this hour. So again, I will stay here for an extra hour. So you can continue to dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265, or hang on. I'll try to get to you in the next hour if I don't get to you now. Next up, Jason. He's in Norman, Oklahoma. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how are you doing, Hank?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well as well. Thank you for taking my call. And I want to start by saying I appreciate all you do and all the answers you provide for questions we bring to you. But my question today is, with all the what seems to be the attacks on homosexuals, I know that without a doubt it's a sin, but what makes it so much more worse than, say, gluttony? And why does it seem to be acceptable for elders or leaders of churches to be overweight and that not be a concern, but homosexuality is an absolute concern when they're both sins?
Yeah, I mean, certainly we should be concerned about gluttony, and I deal with a lot of issues in the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We deal with a lot of issues in the Christian Research Journal. If you go to the website at equip.org, you'll see quite literally thousands of issues being dealt with there, so we're not fixating on one as opposed to another. We're dealing with all these issues, and I take the questions as they come. But remember, Jason, we did not recently have a Supreme Court decision making gluttony the law of the land, that you can go to jail for not approving of gluttony or not giving a gluttonous certificate out to someone. So I think that this has been foisted upon our consciousness and our lives in a very, very significant way. And when that is so, to simply be silent in the face of it would not be very, very good, particularly when it has quite obvious ramifications, as I said earlier on the most vulnerable among us, children. Because as you and anyone else will likely no. It's not a hidden fact. It's just plain old sociological metrics that most people know about. Gender-differentiated parenting is best for children. That's not even a debatable fact. And so if you care about children, you're obviously going to speak out about this, just as you've rightly pointed out, we should care about the temple in which the Holy Spirit dwells. We shouldn't get drunk. We shouldn't be gluttonous. Nothing wrong with having a glass of wine. Nothing wrong with eating appropriate amounts of food. But we shouldn't be wine bibbers or gluttons. And I've said that many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast in response to questions.
Yeah, I guess I'm just wondering why we're not trying to get legislation passed about gluttony when I don't understand.
But again, I just mentioned we don't have the Supreme Court decision facing us right now that unless you're a glutton, we're going to jail you. We're not faced with some law of the land that makes gluttony a mandate for everyone, but we are faced with a law of the land that now says that marriage no longer adheres to natural law, but rather to what people think is best for them in this particular epoch of time. So we've taken civilization and turned it on its head. And as you well know, Jason, this is not a trifling issue. This is not like picking a scab on your arm incorrectly. But this is one of the most basic pillars of all of human civilization. Barack Obama clearly and correctly talked about this about 8 years ago when he said that kids need a mother and a father. And when they don't have a mother and a father, there are draconian implications for civilization. He was right. Now, he's changed his mind, but that's the problem with political correctness. If you set your sight by shooting stars as opposed to having a North Star, you're always going to have problems. And the problems for civilization, again, are immense problems. So not to talk about that and to say, well, we should be talking about gluttony instead is simply making a false a false dichotomy, at least in this case, a dichotomy. We should be talking about both. You're absolutely correct. But this is a far more significant issue overall in terms of implication. So, yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of people think sin is sin. That's simply wrong. I mean, if you think a murderous thought, it's one thing. If you carry out the murder, it's quite another. So there are sins that have dramatic implications and sins that have lesser implications. I'm not trying to grade the sins here, but simply saying on the broadcast, I talk about all of these issues because they are critical. And I know, Jason, you sound like a loving person. You would care about children. So I'm sure you're very, very glad that we're talking about this issue.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I appreciate your wisdom, sir. You have a good day.
Hey, appreciate you calling in. Want to mention just a couple of things here, and then we'll go right back to our calls. You know, this is one of those months, for some reason or other, we are lagging in donations, and we're way behind. We'll have a substantial deficit if things do not turn around this month. So just want to bring that to your attention. If you have some of the Lord's resources and you want to invest them in this ministry, stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth, be deeply appreciated. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. You know, the calls come in from all over the world, quite literally. And literally thousands and thousands of calls, questions, the resources of the ministry in great demand. But we simply cannot do what we do without you. And that's why we're asking you to stand shoulder to shoulder. You're not giving to us, but through us, touching the lives of people for time and for eternity. Again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000. And the letter is CRI. Also, if you can become a CRI support team member, in other words, I'm talking about people that don't give occasionally, but on an ongoing, regular, monthly basis, it would be deeply appreciated in appreciation for your support and for joining the CRI support team. I'd be pleased to send you a personalized copy of one of my books, personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. Again, go to the web, equip.org/donate, and be deeply appreciated. Only give as you're led by the Holy Spirit. I don't want you to give out of compulsion, but give because you see the need and you want to be part of the solution. Let's go back to the phone calls. We'll talk next to Charles. He's listening in Baltimore, Maryland on WRBS. Hi, Charles.
Yes, how you doing? Real quickly. How do we know who's right? Sorry about the interruption there. So how do we know who's right when none of the dead people came back to tell us anything? Because, you know, you got every different denomination. I know Christianity probably didn't start out that way, but you know, we all, everybody says the same thing, and yet they all end up saying, they say the same thing, and yet they say different things. One thing they agree on is treat your neighbor as yourself. You know, follow the golden rule. But then, of course, we got different belief systems and whatnot. So how do we know really which one is right when there hasn't been anybody from any particular denomination who's come back to tell us anything?
Yeah, well, a couple of things I would say. I like what you said in the prologue to the question. I mean, the church for 1,000 years was one church. There was a great schism that happened in 1054, a schism between East and West. And then another schism in the West 500 years later, the Western Church fissured, and there have been many fissures since. But one thing that we can say, despite the fissuring, is that all Christians have been united with respect to essential Christian doctrine. And so we say in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and all things charity. So let's make that practical. When we talk about the deity of Jesus Christ, if you say that Jesus Christ is not God in human flesh, if you say, in very direct contradiction to Jesus himself and the words of Scripture, and even the demonstrations of Jesus Christ when he walked this earth, if you say that Jesus Christ is not God, then you've departed from the faith once for all delivered to the saints. So, for example, if you are a Muslim and you say that saying that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, that he is God in human flesh, they would say that is the unforgivable sin of shirk. Well, obviously, they may agree on other points with respect to Jesus. For example, they agree that he's sinless, but they have certainly sold the farm when it comes to the essential of the deity of Jesus Christ. Same thing with a Jehovah's Witness, who says that Jesus Christ did not create all things, but was a junior partner. He himself was created. Or the Mormons, who say that Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer. So, again, we have to stand shoulder to shoulder when it comes to essential Christian doctrine, in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity. We've been talking about eschatology. Well, there are people that disagree in terms of their timing of the tribulation or the meaning of the millennium, but all Christians are united in the essential that Jesus Christ will appear a second time. So again, there are essentials that we stand shoulder to shoulder on. In the other areas, we debate it vigorously, unapologetically, because iron sharpens iron. I've written about the essentials of the historic Christian faith in a flip chart called Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine, available for your support of the ministry. You can find it on the web at equip.org. Unfortunately, coming up to the end of the broadcast, I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour, continue taking your calls. So if you're hanging on, please be patient. I will get to you. And if you're dialing in, the number in the U.S. or Canada, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. You can start calling that number right now. And for the next hour, I will be answering questions. Be right here for the next hour. So we'll go to the next program in just a few moments. We'll record my answers to your questions, play that on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast when I'm traveling. So you can start calling right now, 888-ASK-HANK. And thanks for tuning in. Thanks for standing with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. We live in an age of increasingly militant secularism and scientism, an age in which science, reinforced by its stunning successes and unprecedented benefits in our quality of life, is increasingly the arbiter of what constitutes truth. But the question is, do the facts of science really suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, the latest film by Illustra Media, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm and shows how it's a realm where biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Recently, Time magazine noted a number of prominent evangelical churches and leaders who have reversed their positions on homosexuality. Time concluded that, quote, change is coming to one of the last redoubts of opposition to gay marriage in America, end quote. Is modern evangelicalism on the cusp of embracing a God-ordained civil rights movement or a grotesque error masquerading as reformation? Other topics include putting race in biblical perspective, two views on human origins, how Christianity led to the rise of modern science, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.